Good morning, and welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. I have several announcements here. One from Right to Life of Michigan, entitled, "We Are Not Giving Up on Life," asking for us to join a virtual event September 28th, 2020. That would be tomorrow. At 7:30 p.m. with a keynote speaker, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and the host and musical guest, Matthew West. If you want to take part in that, contact Pastor Sue. She has the link for that virtual event. In a similar vein, Life Chain 2020, is announcing that on Sunday, October the 4th, that would be next Sunday, from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., they're asking us to join for 1 hour of prayer to end abortion in our country. That's taking place in Lexington at the Ave Maria Parish, St. Denis Hall, and in Marlette at the Marlette Baptist Church. We also have a thank you note here. Dear Pastor Platt and parishioners of Sandusky United Methodist Church, thank you so much for your donation towards the repairs to our church parsonage. The May 19th flood devastated a lot of our little village. Over 30 homes and businesses were destroyed in Sanford alone. But it also showed us how blessed we are with good neighbors, friends, and family. Our parsonage has been repaired, and Sunday we are having a community picnic with help from the Midland First United Methodist Church to help raise the spirits of those who are still working to recover. Thank you again, in Christ, the Sanford United Methodist Church. And I would also bring to your attention, there are additional announcements on the back of the bulletin. In particular, a particular note is that the next blood drive will be held on October 15th at Countryside, and Karen Downing will be in charge for this drive. Thank you, Karen. Watch next week's bulletin for more details. Also, Grief Share class will begin on Monday, October 5th at 6 p.m. in Wesley Hall. Let's see. Pastor?
If you note on your bulletin also that Leonard Beulah's stepsister passed away, Norma Foss, and I just also found out this week that Ed is also a cousin of Michelle Seaman. I think everybody's related to everybody here in town anyway. So, and then Kevin Cohn's aunt, Connie Cohn, also passed away. So continue to keep them in your prayers. And now I have some birthdays. We have no more anniversaries for this month, but birthdays. We have Levi Wilkinson, Debbie Lasecki, Brooklyn McIntyre, Tara Darabon, and Paula Huber. So, June, we welcome you to the piano. We thank you for stepping in, and she's going to play. And, of course, we can't sing, but we can hum. Happy birthday to all those. Now we're going to have you prepare your hearts, quiet your minds as the ushers come in with the light of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Please join me as we give the call to worship in unison.
Oh,
that's okay. My mistake. First time that's ever happened. Now,
forever exalted and I will.
And now I would ask you to please join me as we give the call to worship in unison. Come, let us sing praises to the Lord. For the Lord is our strength and our salvation. His presence is among us, and His Spirit empowers us to be His people.
Let us pray.
Lord, You are the name above all names. We're here to exalt You, to praise Your name. We pray that You open our eyes and our hearts, that we may see, we may feel Your presence. As we look at the light of Christ on our altar or in our minds as we are at home and in the cars, and we know Your presence is real. Lord, we pray that we will truly be Your hands and feet to the world. And then we will seek You in every moment of our life. And we pray these things in the risen Christ. Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name. do we have any children in the parking lot this morning? Looking to see. I'm not sure I see any kids. Oh, there's some kids. Come on up. You're hiding behind the cars. Oh, it's good to see you. Look at all of you. Come on up. So isn't it nice? I see some of you still in shorts. It's beautiful outside, isn't it? Nice weather. I think it's going to change this week, but it's really nice now, isn't it? Yeah. So I'm standing back a little ways because my mic will beep if I get too far out. I'm going to ask you, boys and girls, has your mom or dad ever asked you to help out around the house?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you done it?
Yeah.
Have any of you said yes and then not done it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have any of you said no and then gone ahead and done it? No. No? Well, there's a story in our Bible this morning about two people, two boys. With a story in the Bible. There was a man who had two sons named John and William. And one day, the dad walked into John's room and said, "John, we had a lot of wind last night, and I want you to help go clean up the leaves outside in the yard, and then would you put them in this bag?" But John was working on a model airplane in his room, and you know what he told his dad? What do you think?
No.
So he says, "I don't have time to do that." He wanted to finish his model airplane. So the father took William's room, and William was watching TV. And he said, "There was a lot of wind last night, and there's a lot of leaves. Would you go out and rake them and put them in the bags?" And what do you think the boy said? What do you think William said?
No,
he said yes. But do you think he went out?
No,
he didn't go out. So after his father left, John, who was the one with the model airplane, began to think about it. And you know what he did? He went outside and he raked the leaves, put them in the bag. So the dad came back and he saw William in watching TV. He said, "William, didn't I ask you to go outside?" And William was there watching TV. Well, John, who said he wouldn't rake the leaves, was the one who actually went out and raked the leaves, while William said yes and then sat and watched TV. Which one of the two do you think did God's will and did what the parent asked?
John.
John, right answer. So when mom and dad ask us, or our teacher ask us, or grandparents ask us to do something, how are we supposed to respond? Yes. But in our scripture today, it's a story just like that. There was two, dad asked him to go out and help with the vineyard. The first one said no, and what did? He went out. Yes. Oh, that's right. So you have your bulletins. I think all of you got your bulletins this week. And so in here is the parable of the two sons. That's the title of that scripture. And so you can look at it and know more about it and talk with your mom and dad about that story. And understand that when somebody, especially an adult, asks you to do something, yes is what you're supposed to say, and then go and do it, right? And so Jesus asks us to do things too, especially when we get older. He asks us to do things, and are we to say yes or no? Yes. I hope that you will follow your parents, but I hope as you grow up, you also will follow Jesus, right? Claire, you're going to come say hi to me. Hi, Claire. Yeah. Hi. All right. Well, can you follow me? Say, "Dear God,
thank you
that you call us and help us to say yes." Amen. All right. You guys are so great. Thank you for coming up.
Today's Old Testament reading is Psalm 78, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 16, And I'll be reading from the New International Version. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with the light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
Thank you, Lynn. Now we hum the song, Seek Ye First.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Come together to pray this week for Accents Hair Studio in our community. Let us remember those that we have lifted in prayer. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, what a gorgeous day that you have given to us. A day that has a breeze, sunshine, a day that we can gather as the Lord's Day, whether we're inside the church building or in our lawn chairs or cars, whether we're at home with our family, We give you thanks for your presence with us. Lord, this can be a stressful time in life. With so many things going on in the world, with hurricanes and rains that continue to happen, and heat and dryness in the West with fires. I often wonder why we can't have some of that rain go pour over the fires. But you know all things. You've created all things. But as we just sung, you ask us to seek you, to turn to you, to trust you, to believe in you. So, Lord, as we go day to day and in our own lives of crisis and chaos, not only with COVID, but with finances and needing jobs and stress in relationships, we tend to look at the bad. We turn to those things that trouble us. Lord, we don't always seek you first. So we ask that you forgive us and help us to remember that we are called to follow you, that our purpose here on earth is to be your hands and feet, to be helping others, to trust you, to seek you. Lord, we've fallen short. But as in Romans, we know that humanity all falls short of the glory of God. And we thank you that you gave us Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, for our forgiveness, and to give us hope. To pray, Lord, as we hear your words and we continue to pray and worship and praise your name, that we hold on to the hope in the world, that we hold on to the good, that we give you thanks in all things, and that we continue to say, "Here I am, Lord. Fill me and use me to your glory, that you are exalted, that you are name above all names." We pray these things, Lord, as you taught us together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is out of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 23 to 32. Hear these words. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priest and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from human origin?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." So what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing, and he answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less and less of me, and more and more and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. We begin this text with Jesus teaching and the leaders, the Jewish leaders, asking by what authority he is doing these things. Well, the things that he was doing was that he was cleansing the temple. He was teaching. He was baptizing. But you remember the story of cleansing the temple where the men were out at the tables and they were selling animals at the temple and he overturned the tables? That's where this story picks up. By what authority? Like, how dare you? Who said you could do that? Do we question those in authority? Well, in this story, Jesus is trying to teach them that John came first, doing a lot of what Christ was doing, but not with the power of the Holy Spirit with his presence, but with the Holy Spirit of God. And now Jesus is teaching them that this is God's will for them to follow. The Jewish leaders, however, thought they were the ones that were in charge. "We have that authority, not you. Who are you?" Well, we know that Jesus Christ is also God the Father and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, three in one. And we know that he does have the authority. But we have that word today and understand. But in that time, in that setting, they did not understand. For Jesus had not died and gone and risen again. He was coming through and teaching and doing miracles and doing ministry to glorify his Father God. I struggled with this passage this week, I want you to know. I would read it and read it and read it. And you know, you see that it's in a two-part section. And I would ask God, where do you want me to take this for your people? And so I'm going to go to the second section before I answer that. And I was trying to figure out how the first section and the second area were related. We have a parable of two sons. One who is asked to go work in the vineyard and he says no, but he goes and does it. And the second one who is asked to go work in the vineyard and says yes, but doesn't go and do it. And so that last line of those last words, "The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." See, what Jesus wanted to get across is that those who follow will be entered into the kingdom of God because they believe. But many didn't believe John. The Jewish leaders did not believe John. And that's why they questioned at the very beginning in that first section, well, what if we, you know, how do we answer this? Because either he's going to ask, why don't you believe? Or, you know, the people are going to get upset with you. So Jesus is trying to get the point across that they need to believe, and others have believed and will follow. And those are the ones that you think are unworthy, those that may be different or less than what you are in your mind. They'll enter first. So what does that tell us today? So I kept asking God, what do you want me to say on this? Because to be honest, until about yesterday, I wasn't sure what I was still going to say. Because this can be a tough passage. How do we know to do God's will? Well, if we look on others that they are lesser than us, is that doing God's will? Just that attitude in our heart and mind of thinking? Maybe we won't say it, but we may think it. And a lot of the commentaries would say in this, it is where your heart is and what you think, what you actually do. Maybe not what you say. Because you see in the parables, one son said one thing but went and did the other. The other son said yes and didn't go. Sometimes what we say isn't as important according to this text in this context than what we actually do. Thought about as pastors sometimes, we have to preach, but do our actions match what we do and say in the pulpit? I pray my actions do. But again, I too fall short of the glory of God, as all of us do. But the point that I believe God wanted us to hear in this passage was that God is the Father in this picture. And John the Baptist and Jesus Christ were the prophets that were showing and teaching the people around. And then Jesus teaching the Jewish leaders how they could enter the kingdom of God. So how do you and I enter that kingdom of God? We always hear that as we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord and Christ, that we then will enter the kingdom of God. I believe that. But we may have done that early in life, and we have all this time that we call sanctifying grace, that we live in that grace, praying that we will do the right thing, say the right thing, and do the right thing. That we will seek God, that we will lift him high. That's why I chose the songs I did today, to make a point that Jesus is exalted as his name above all names. He does have the authority. Not the pastors, not the congregation. Jesus is the one who has the authority. I copied out of one of the commentaries because I knew I couldn't get this right. I went and say it like they did. So this is out of a commentary by Charlotte Dudley Cleghorn. Hear these words. It is not uncommon within our faith community to hear people discount others they deem unworthy. Our churches have struggled with this attitude since the very beginning. Do the Gentiles have to be circumcised? Are women allowed positions of leadership? Are people of other races and skin colors really made in the image of God? What about homosexuals? What about the mentally ill? The homeless. An interesting question to ponder is this: who will I be standing beside in the kingdom of God? We will, I suspect, be surprised to find out. Who belongs in God's realm has everything to do with who God is and who is beloved of God. Jesus welcomes the righteous and the lost. Christ welcomes all. Benedict, in his monastic rule, exhorted his brothers to welcome all as Christ. There is something very important here about the changing of one's mind. The first son changed his mind and went. The tax collectors and the prostitutes believe that John came in the way of righteousness, but the chief priests and elders did not change their minds, even after seeing how others believed. What causes us to change our mind? What allows for our hearts to be changed, to be broken open? What blocks us from allowing ourselves to be changed? These questions seem to be at the heart of the matter. The question of Jesus' authority is important. If his authority is from humans, then the church is just another human institution among other human institutions. What Jesus is saying, both in his questions to the religious leaders about John's baptism and in his questions about which of the two sons did the will of the Father, is that the God of Israel, who gives him his authority, is the same God of Israel who welcomes sinners and prostitutes. So what are we supposed to take out of that? Lots of questions, weren't there? And this book was written years ago. It wasn't today in the manner of COVID. It wasn't today in the manner of the homosexuality issues. It was written in a time when a lot of people, some people, judge against those who are different than them. Will not God allow those to come into the kingdom of God? Does Jesus not have the authority to do that? Of course he does. And like that said, we may be surprised who's there. Will we be there? Are we doing God's will? Are we following him to the best of our ability, to the best we can do? Do we look at other skin colors and say, I don't want to have anything to do with them? Do we look at those that are homosexual and say, I don't have anything to do with them? Do we look at the pastor that is a woman and say, I don't want that person in my pulpit? You didn't say that. Here I am. But I have to tell you, I have been in two churches that did not want me because I was a woman. My organist came to me at that intro time when you get to meet the pastor with the SPRC, and she came inches from my face and said, I do not want you here. And my comment was, just give me some time. 2 weeks later, she came back and apologized and cried when I left. But see, sometimes our minds are set on what values we think are right or correct. I know there's discussion and there's talk homosexualities, we can love that person. They're welcome in our church, but heaven forbid that they ever are in the pulpit. Is that for us to judge? Are we going to follow God's will? And I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm asking questions, as this person has questions. It's a matter of our heart. It's a matter of our mind. What are we thinking? Are we thinking that we are better than others? Can be an ouch, can't it? I struggled with this passage this week. There are still churches that don't want African Americans in their church. Many years ago, I had a colleague who was called to meet with SPRC, with the district superintendent. You go into your intro meeting, and the church locked the doors and wouldn't let them in. Because the woman was also African American. That's in the United Methodist Church. Sometimes the church can be the worst place of critics and judgmental people. Oh, we're Christian. We come and we sit in the pews or in our cars or listening on the radio, and we're righteous. But how are our actions Monday through Saturday? What is the language that you use? What is our minds and our hearts doing? Are we helping others, or are we thinking we are better than others? Ouch. Can you see why I really didn't want to preach this passage this week? This is a tough one. It really makes us think, who are we? But more importantly, whose are we? Who has the authority? You or me or Jesus Christ? I think we can all answer Jesus. We can say that with no problem. Wouldn't everybody here say, and those that are home, you could raise your hand, yes, I would say Jesus has the authority, right? But what happens when we come to these issues? Do we allow that person to come in that's a woman in position of leadership? Pretty much yes, because that's our day and time. Are people of other races and skin colors, do we really ask, are they made in the image of God? Oh my gosh, I sure hope so. What about the mentally ill? What about homosexualities? What about the homeless? Do we judge them when they come in? I hope we would say no, but remember the two parables? One said one thing and then did the other. One said yes and didn't do. Let's be honest with ourselves. You don't need to answer it out loud, but what would you really say if a homosexuality person came to the pulpit? Would we lose most of the congregation? Would we lose half the congregation? Would you stand up and say, I'm not going to be judgmental? That's up to Jesus to do that. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm asking the questions of, is it our authority or is it Jesus' authority? I want you to hear that. Will we do God's will and welcome all? Did you hear the last words here? For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes, those that seemed to be deemed less worthy, did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. I have to say, God, get on my knees. I'm sorry, I can be very judgmental. That person is different than me. And I try not to be. In fact, this week, The Board of Ordained Ministry met. We normally would be at Lake Louise for a two-day retreat. We did it by Zoom for 2 days on Zoom. I was exhausted by the time I got done. But we had to take a survey several weeks ahead called IDI. It was an intercultural development inventory where we had to answer so many questions to find out if we're racist or judgmental. And then on Wednesday of this week, we had the guest speaker that talked about, are we racist and judgmental towards people? The bishop is being very forward on trying to take this racism very serious. We all don't know on our one-to-one. We didn't get a chance to do a one-on-one yet with this guest speaker. She will get back to us to know our scores. I can't tell you what my score is. Not yet. But we're moving in this area as a United Methodist Church in the Michigan Conference to help pastors and to help congregations to know whether they are actually racist and judgmental, or if we will look at the scriptures and follow God's will and believe and trust in Him that Jesus is the one in authority, not us. It's a lot of that talk going around. And so I want to end with, think about these questions. Where are you? Will your mind be changed if you're on one side? Will you keep your mind if you're on this side? I don't need to know. It's between you and God. I'm not in charge. I'm not the one with authority. Jesus Christ is, with your salvation. Just my prayer that you know to follow God's will and to seek Him and to trust and believe in Him, for He is the one in charge. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I'm glad that's over. I just ask you, Lord, that you can put in our minds what your will is, that we will follow and be faithful and obedient. Whew. Lord, I just take a deep breath. Help me to take the log out of my own eye before I look at just a prick in somebody else's. Here we are, Lord. Amen. Would the ushers please bring up the offering, and I believe Suzanne's coming in from outside as we hear our offertory. Please stand for the doxology. God, we ask that you bless these gifts, those who gave, and bless those who are less fortunate than us. In the name of our risen Christ. Amen. Our last song is Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a
as you go forth this week, trust, believe in Jesus Christ, and follow Him, seek Him, and obey Him. Go now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.